Spring is in the air, and at Minky Couture, we're celebrating this joyful season with warmth, love, and the softest, coziest blankets. Whether you're cuddling up after an Easter egg hunt or gifting a little extra comfort to someone special, our luxury blankets make every moment even sweeter. From our Minky family to yours, happy Easter. May your day be filled with love, laughter, and all the cozy moments you can dream of. Visit us online at minkycouture.com or stop by one of our stores to find your perfect Minky hug today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid, getting you ready for week two of the upcoming fantasy football season. I'm Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock. We got plenty to cover here on today's show. Going to talk about the waiver wire. We're going to talk about some players who overachieved in week one, some underachievers as well. And Davis, naturally, the fun thing to do is sort of overreact to the first week of the NFL season. That's what we're here for, everyone, to try and make sure people understand the right direction to go.
You know, this is probably the most crucial week of the season to get it right. What you do in between week one and week two, are you cutting bait? Are you making trades? Did you pick up the right guy? Did you pick up the wrong guy? Did you spend your free agency bucks on Puka Nacua, on Tutu Atwell, on Kyron Williams? You know, I have made a lot of mistakes in my long fantasy football career after week one. I've made some pretty memorable good decisions. The one that always comes back to me is reacting to Eli Mitchell after his rookie season. I remember some people being like, oh, Shanahan and the running backs, don't pick him up, don't spend the money. And then obviously he crushed for the entirety of that season. But having an opinion and parsing that out after week one and before week two is what we are here to do, Craig.
Yeah, we are here to do it. Also recap Thursday Night Football, got some reactions from that as well. Let's get to our headlines here on the show. As Aaron Rodgers, not going to be a fantasy factor for this season. He undergoes surgery, going to miss the year. How about Jared Goff nearing a historic streak without an interception? Chase Claypool expected to be back week two against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for the Chicago Bears. And Davis, on Thursday night, the Minnesota Vikings fall to the Eagles 34-28, virtually falling, by the way, right on the number in terms of the point spread. Very close there. Let's do that real quick. Any brief takeaways? I mean, I guess everyone talking on Friday was about DeAndre Swift getting all those carries and all that volume. I have to say, I really did not see the Eagles using him as a workhorse. And I wonder what the Lions are kind of thinking right now, because I think that was like his best game as a pro.
Yeah, I mean, DeAndre Swift on a lot of my fantasy football teams didn't feel that good after week one. I'm sitting there going, really, really wish I would have taken some more Kenny Gainwell. Maybe wish I would have taken a little bit more David Montgomery. They were kind of going there in that same range. Then we got the news that Kenneth Gainwell wasn't going to play. And I was like, you know what? Now or never, ride or die. You got to put him in the lineup. If he doesn't hit here, honestly, if Swift had not hit on Thursday night, we would have gotten the information that we would have needed. You know, he can go to the waiver wire pile. He can go back in the pool, because if he wasn't going to do it then on the short week, he was never going to do it. Unfortunately, we did get that news about his teammate, Rashad Penny. Clear drop on fantasy football teams where I have Rashad Penny, assuming that you can make waiver moves after Wednesday night and before kickoff on Sunday. I'm dropping him everywhere. I will not have, come Monday morning, I will not have Rashad Penny on any of my fantasy football teams. I'm adding guys like Travion Williams for the Bengals. Looks like Chris Evans is questionable for this game, so Travion should be the clear second running back there. I think, you know, there's a reasonable chance that you could be, you have A.J. Brown, you're not feeling that good about him. Don't do anything dramatic there. A.J. Brown is going to be completely fine. Honestly, one of my big takeaways is it looks like the Eagles are going to play in a bunch of close games this year in a way that they did not last year. They let the Patriots back in the second half of week one. They let the Vikings back in the second half of that game. Like, we could have a bunch of games where the Eagles have to score 30 points. And if that's the case, Devonta Smith, Dallas Goedert, DeAndre, I mean, even Jalen Hurts, who has not been good as a passer, Craig. It is the first back-to-back games of his career where he's had negative expected points as a passer. And it does, you know, I think he'll probably get that solved. Jalen Hurts, a very hard worker. The Eagles are going to score a lot of fantasy points. I feel very good about that.
Yeah, and the name that you brought up earlier in the show I want to get to here before we break is Puka Nacua. I mean, I texted you, I believe it was, you know, either Sunday or Monday after. I was like, who in the world is this guy? And why have I not heard his name once throughout the fantasy football season? And I know that there is some, like, know-it-all people in the industry that are like, I knew, I draft. I mean, get the bleep out of here. No, come on. I mean, Davis, look, I understand there's going to be a few guys every year that are not going to be on the radar quite a bit. I got to tell you, nothing drives me more crazy than these know-it-all people in our industry saying that, oh, we told you, we told you. I mean, I was on social media. I followed everybody. First time I had ever heard his name was during that game. Now, listen, if you're playing in best ball, you're doing a million rounds, he's going to end up on a couple teams. I get it. But, I mean, the number one pickup in, on the waiver wire, nobody could have possibly guessed that before the preseason, at least.
Yeah, so he's pretty interesting. He was really good in a limited sample at BYU, but he was never the leading receiver. He's also one of these guys whose college career was really impacted by COVID. He originally went to Washington University. They only played 4 total games in his sophomore season, so we barely got to see him then. He transfers to BYU. BYU is one of those schools where you don't know that their quarterback changed while he was there, their head coach changed, like, so it's kind of hard for me to say it's his fault that he was a fifth round pick. His athleticism was fine. He was invited to the combine. I did draft Nacua on a couple teams in 20 round drafts, not 16 round drafts. In a 16 round draft, I do not have Nacua on any team. It was actually his teammate Tutu Atwell, who we talked about in the waiver wire watch list last week here on the program, who I liked a lot more. Funnily enough, they actually both had 119 yards. Atwell just caught every target that he got. Nacua, 15 targets, Craig. I knew who Nacua was. I kind of liked him. Never in a bajillion years was I projecting 15 targets. I mean, what happened is he just played Cooper Kupp's position. I mean, just straight up, they subbed Cooper Kupp out, and Nacua just played his position. Now, he apparently suffered an injury in practice because he did not practice on Thursday. We'll see how that impacts his availability. We don't know right now, 24 hours before kickoff, if he is going to be available or not. But even if he does play and he's 100% healthy, they are playing up against the San Francisco 49ers, who are like, that looks like the Death Star. I just think a lot of mediocre, maybe like bad teams are going to get killed against the 49ers, but even 8-win teams might get killed against the 49ers. So, you know, you spend all your free agency money on Nacua. He goes out 3 receptions for 30 yards. Like, honestly, I think you just throw that in the wash. I just think you kind of let that go. Same thing for his teammate, Kyren Williams, as well. Like, I think we'll learn about the playing time there. You know, I mean, but if Kyren Williams gets 18 carries for 37 yards against the 49ers, I'm not going to be like, oh, well, you can drop Kyren Williams. I think the 49ers defense is that good, and they're also going to be up 10 points on every team. I mean, the Steelers were in the hole immediately. It felt like the game kicked off and they were down 14-0, and they just, you know, there was just nothing that that they could do. But the Rams got to be the biggest fantasy surprise of week one of the NFL season.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, you go into a year and you know there's going to be that one team.
Spring is in the air, and at Minky Couture, we're celebrating this joyful season with warmth, love, and the softest, coziest blankets. Whether you're cuddling up after an Easter egg hunt or gifting a little extra comfort to someone special, our luxury blankets make every moment even sweeter. From our Minky family to yours, happy Easter. May your day be filled with love, laughter, and all the cozy moments you can dream of. Visit us online at minkycouture.com or stop by one of our stores to find your perfect Minky hug today.
That's going to surprise you with a lot of different outcomes. The Rams by far were that team, and you alluded to it. And in one of the leagues that I play in, a dynasty league, fortunately, I had huge weeks last week in the dynasty. My other league, I was terrible. But, you know, fortunately for me, I had Cam Akers, and I'm like watching the game like, wait a second here. Like, I thought that this was going to be the year that Cam Akers was going to have from start to finish. By the way, I still think that could be the case. The Rams are a very curious case. Sean McVay is one of those coaches that you literally cannot trust for fantasy football. All right, coming up next, the waiver wire. There's some other players.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid, getting you ready for week two of the upcoming fantasy football season. Let's talk about some players in our go get or forget segment here. And these could be players that are still sitting out there on the waiver wire even after your waivers ran or fab budget. Regardless, maybe there's a player or two that we're going to discuss that you could consider playing this weekend. And Davis, let's start with the quarterback position. And let's start with a player that actually put up really good numbers last week. You wouldn't have thought it after watching the first few minutes of the game, but Mac Jones came on like you know what in the final three quarters of that game against Philadelphia. I know he had some injuries too, but they let him throw 54 times in that game. A Belichick game with a quarterback that's not named Brady throwing 54 times. Did not expect that. Three touchdowns, one interception, and Davis, the Dolphins' defense did not look good at all last week, more so against the run than against the pass. They do have some elite players in the defensive backfield, but is Mac Jones somebody that could potentially be started? I mean, you look at the total in that game, that projected total seems on the high side.
So I don't, look, I don't want to make the Patriots fans upset, but I'm leaving Mac Jones for someone else. I mean, they were down 16-0. They could not get anything going running. They tried Zeke, they tried Ramondre, and it just was not working. And the pick six that Mac Jones threw wasn't really his fault. But I would imagine, I mean, not only is this going to be a season high in attempts, this might end up being a career high in attempts for Mac Jones. It's just not really the style that Bill Belichick or Bill O'Brien wants to play. Their wide receivers, they were admirable in that that come-from-behind effort that fell just short against the Philadelphia Eagles. But they're not really guys that I feel that good about. The three wide receivers who were playing at the end of that game were Kendrick Bourne, undrafted free agent DeMario Douglas, and sixth-round rookie Kayshon Booty, with Hunter Henry, Mike Gesicki rotating in there. Juju Smith-Schuster, they pretty much already have sent him to the bench. They learned what everyone who drafted him in fantasy learned last year, which is that he stinks. And Devontae Parker already has a knee injury. I think Jones can be efficient, but I just don't see the raw play volume, because even in the first half before the score got crazy, you saw the Patriots were going to play slow. The Patriots were going to run. They're using Ezekiel Elliott. If an offense is using Ezekiel Elliott, I'm not really all that interested. I'm prepared to be wrong on this one because Jones was efficient in 2021 when he was a rookie, but I'm saying forget Mac Jones. You can leave him out there.
All right, good matchup. You would think against the Dolphins. We will see. The Dolphins are slight favorites, by the way, in that game on Sunday night. Okay, now the Chargers ran the ball very well against the Miami Dolphins last week, and Austin Eckler was a little bit banged up. We saw Joshua Kelly get some nice backup work. He had 91 total yards and a touchdown on 16 touches. Now, clearly, if Eckler was to, for some reason, not play, and we haven't been getting any indication of that yet, then Kelly would be somebody to go get. Davis, the question becomes, can you trust the Chargers situation to, like, simply give the ball to someone behind Eckler? Through the years, there's never been one clear-cut handcuff. They've run with, like, three, four different running backs at a time. Is Kelly somebody that you have to have if you don't have Eckler?
You hit the nail on the head. The reason why Joshua Kelly wasn't really being drafted was we've seen the Chargers do this time and time again. They have Isaiah Spiller. They have Kalen Ballage. Sony Michel was on the team getting goal line carries last year. He's retired and out of football right now. But at least in week one against the Dolphins, no other running back played. The third running back on the team, Elijah Dotson, was only activated, it seems, for special teams. I didn't see this coming. I did not see this coming at all. But I got to say, you got to go get Josh Kelly, because not only is he clearly one of the highest tier handcuffs in fantasy football right now, he also ran 16 routes in this game, which matched Eckler's total exactly. He was getting goal line touches when Eckler was still in the game. And the Chargers offensive line, I literally cannot believe I'm saying these words, because for as long as I've been alive, I do not ever remember the Chargers having a good offensive line. It's always been like the worst offensive line in the NFL, yeah. But they were getting whatever they wanted in week one. They, you know, Justin Herbert had as much time as he wanted. They were getting a bunch of push in the running game. So honestly, even over Nacua and Atwell and Kyren Williams and Justice Hill, Kelly probably was the best guy to pick up in week one, because you can start him in a pinch because he might get a touchdown, which is kind of the same. Like, is there a difference between Rashad White and Joshua Kelly? Like, honestly, probably not. But the fact that it seems that he has put all these other running backs to bed and would be the lead running back if Eckler were to miss any time, that feels very valuable in fantasy football.
All right. You mentioned the next name, and I want to go to this here real quickly. The Baltimore Ravens running back situation. Very murky now with Dobbins out for the season. Gus Edwards is in the mix. Justice Hill is in the mix. If we believe John Harbaugh, they're not adding anybody off the street, basically, to come in and play. It feels like we're right back where we were, Davis, a year ago. I guess the only difference is that this time around, Gus Edwards at least is available to play. Is this running back situation, is anybody worth picking up? Is anybody even worth playing this week? I don't know that I even trust the situation.
Yeah, I mean, if I was going to play one of the two between Justice or Edwards this week, it would be Hill, because he seems like a better fit for a game plan where they are road underdogs against the Cincinnati Bengals. But I think the most likely outcome here, Craig, do you remember the 2021 season where Dobbins, Hill, and Edwards all got injured in the preseason? Tyson Williams comes out, looks really good in the first half of that game against the Raiders, gets Lamar Jackson blown up in a blitz pickup. He just misses it, and we never saw him again. That, to me, feels like probably what's going to happen this year. We might have five different guys lead the Ravens in carries for a game over the rest of the season. Melvin Gordon. I don't like Melvin Gordon. I think Melvin Gordon stinks, but you know what? NFL coaches love to play Melvin Gordon. Kareem Hunt is still not signed. Leonard Fournette is still not signed. I mean, there are so many moving pieces here. Also, just another thing to mention, feels like maybe the Ravens have the worst strength and conditioning staff in the NFL. They just are always having season-ending injuries to guys. Justice Hill tore his Achilles 18 months ago. Right. You know, Gus Edwards has torn his ACL. So to think that these guys are like locks to stay healthy all year, I don't think I would say that either. The Ravens backfield, I mean, it's very sad to see Dobbins get injured because I loved him so much for fantasy, but it does feel like probably one of the most mired situations in the NFL at this point.
Yeah, I think the other thing, too, in terms of Dobbins, I mean, there's a lot of Dynasty League people, Davis, that are like, my gosh, like they thought they had a superstar running back a couple of years ago. I mean, you got to look at it as he may be in danger of not playing next year in the NFL, too. We'll see. All right. Tight end. Boy, it was a wasteland again, as it usually is. Let's take a look at Hunter Henry. 5 catches, 56 yards. He scored a touchdown last week. You know, I mean, in the right spot, I guess that he is somebody worth picking up and playing. And I know he was probably drafted in about 15-20% of leagues. I see him cut. I see him added quite a bit in some of the leagues that I'm playing in. But Davis, is so hard to find a good tight end right now. Like, I mean, it's getting harder and harder. I think this year is going to be even harder than last year.
It is so hard to find a good tight end, which is why I would say absolutely go get Hunter Henry, because there's no question about his role. Hunter Henry is going to play every single passing down. He is going to run block a ton in games that are closer for the Patriots. This week might be closer against the Miami Dolphins. You know, we'll see. That is definitely TBD. I love the Dolphins passing game. But all of those red zone snaps where you need a tight end to be blocking, and then that opens up the play action. Obviously, the Patriots love to throw to the tight end inside the red zone. I mean, Hunter Henry might be a top 10 tight end for the rest of the season. He is just locked in. I've also always thought he's good. Like, you know, just a lot of these guys, Durham Smythe plays every single snap for the Miami Dolphins in week one. Like, I don't know if Durham Smythe's very good, but I do think Hunter Henry probably is. So I would definitely be on the side of getting him, even if you have a good tight end. Or if you got Kyle Pitts and Hunter Henry and they're both on your team this week, who are you starting? I don't know. You might be starting Hunter Henry over Kyle Pitts right now.
Spring is in the air, and at Minky Couture, we're celebrating this joyful season with warmth, love, and the softest, coziest blankets. Whether you're cuddling up after an Easter egg hunt or gifting a little extra comfort to someone special, our luxury blankets make every moment even sweeter. From our Minky family to yours, happy Easter. May your day be filled with love, laughter, and all the cozy moments you can dream of. Visit us online at minkycouture.com or stop by one of our stores to find your perfect Minky hug today.
Yeah, well, my Darren Waller didn't look so good either in week one. All right, let's take a quick timeout here on the show. Coming up next, we'll play a little start or sit, players on the borderline and starting in fantasy football. We'll have it for you next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. After some very interesting week one results in the National Football League, let's dive into some players that you may start or sit in fantasy football in week two. And Davis, let's start off with that very awkward Buffalo Bills offense. I think that's a nice way to put it. They struggled mightily against the New York Jets. Josh Allen had the case of the turnovers again. And the running backs in particular didn't look all that great. Now, James Cook is the one that we'll focus on here from the Buffalo Bills, because certainly you expected a little bit more out of this if you started him in the flex last week. 46 rushing yards, 4 receptions, 17 yards. And I do think, Davis, there's going to come a point this year where Cook is going to win somebody $1 million on a Sunday. I do think that that's going to happen. But I guess the question is he an every week starter right now in fantasy?
Yeah, for me, he is. I mean, obviously, that game against the Jets was just weird. I mean, that's kind of the hardest part about week one, is figuring out what's real and what is single game variance. I don't think that Josh Allen is going to throw 3 interceptions all that often. The third interception is the one that people have looked at the most and been like, why would you even do that? But to me, the first one was way worse. That first interception where he chucked the arm punt down to Deontay Hardy, like 70 yards down the field, like that's just a dumb throw. You don't need to be making that throw. The weirdness as it pertains to James Cook, I thought Damian Harris's role was actually smaller than I imagined. Like, it was not like rotational drives. James Cook was the lead guy. Harris just came in situationally. But the weird part was Latavius Murray, the oldest running back in the NFL, subbed in for the 2-minute drill. I mean, that's weird, right? Like, you kind of want your pass catching running back out there. And I guess they just said, this Jets defense is so good, let's try and not get Josh killed. Let's have a blocker stay in there. But there's no reason for Latavius Murray to be playing for a team that has Super Bowl aspirations. So I actually think that Cook's 61% snap share from week one grows, and it'll really grow in games that they're not losing, right? I mean, I don't see why James Cook would not play if you're up 7 points, if it's comfortable, if you're cruising. So I am start on James Cook. I think I feel pretty good about him and can shake off the week one weirdness.
All right, let's go over to the quarterback position, where the Lions are coming off a win against the Kansas City Chiefs, and they've had some time to prepare for week two against the Seattle Seahawks. And the Seahawks did not look good in their first game, mostly, I think, because of some offensive line issues. But Goff will play after throwing for 253 yards and 1 touchdown against the Seahawks. And Davis, after week one, we definitely know we lost one starting quarterback in the top 12, and that is Aaron Rodgers. I think that some other quarterbacks like Jimmy Garoppolo and Russell Wilson, maybe some people were thinking, like this could be it. Maybe this is a season for both of them. Did not look good too. So has Goff put himself back on the radar as a fantasy starter this week?
You know, I'm a little bit worried about teams that drafted Goff as a starter. I think he's a clear start this week against Seattle. And I think probably most weeks at home, he seems like a good start. You know, the Lions were pretty close, Craig, to getting boat raced in that game against the defending champions, and it ended up working out for them. Kadarius Toney, 3rd and 4, has a first down. The ball is in his hands. He's crossing the first down marker. You just catch the ball. You run upfield for a couple yards. You get tackled. Instead, turns into a pick 6 going the other way. But every player on that team, not named Amon-Ra St. Brown or Jahmyr Gibbs, looked horrible. Marvin Jones fumbled. Couldn't get open, like just looked like he was running in quicksand. Josh Reynolds, I mean, I've done this with Josh Reynolds enough to know that he is not a difference-making guy in the NFL. So he's a start this week against Seattle, home game. Seattle's defense did not look very good. Obviously, Seattle-Detroit last year, 14th highest scoring game in NFL history, won a couple people $1 million with just full game stacks. But they need Jameson Williams, and they need him in a big way. And I don't know. I mean, can you count on Jameson Williams? I don't know. I mean, I've not heard a single positive thing reported about Jameson Williams, like, in a calendar year. So we'll see. But I'm worried about Goff in general. So I would say be active on the waiver wire if Goff is your primary quarterback. But you can start him this week.
All right, now let's move over to the team that you follow the closest, the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think this is an easy sit, so we can expand the conversation here a little bit more. But Sky Moore of the Kansas City Chiefs did absolutely nothing in week one. And Kadarius Toney, as you talked about, like yips, I don't even know if that's in the conversation at this point, but you cannot be starting either of those two. Now, Davis, look, I tried to illustrate this before the season started. The Chiefs almost won that game with no receivers. And I still think they're going to win 11, 12 games with no receivers. But can anybody start in fantasy on that offense outside of Kelce at this point? I mean, I how can anybody be recommended?
Definitely not this week. So Sky, I'm pretty interested to see what happens because Andy Reid's had 10 days to prepare for this game. Sky actually led the team in snaps and in routes. He was so brutal. Him and Toney combined, it was like the worst wide receiver games I've ever seen two guys play. And you could tell by the end, Mahomes just didn't even want to throw to them. The last pass that Mahomes threw to Toney, it was like you're playing catch with your like 5-year-old nephew in the backyard. You throw it as soft and as gentle as you can. And Toney even still dropped that. But if Sky leads Kansas City in routes again this week, I'm definitely not cutting him because it's just a valuable, like Mahomes is going to throw for 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards. You can't cut the guy who's running the most routes on his team, especially routes that are closer to the line of scrimmage. But what I think might happen is the only wide receiver who looked like he could do anything was the rookie, Rashi Rice, out of SMU. He caught the touchdown. He played limited snaps. He only ran 17 routes. The Chiefs had the only team in the NFL that did this in week one. 6 wide receivers ran double-digit routes. No team does that because clearly the coaching staff is looking at this saying, these guys can't play. None of these guys can play. We got to figure out something. If Sky tosses up another bagel or if he loses routes to Rice this week, put him on the Rashad Penny pile. He's going into the waiver wire wood chipper, but not starting him this week, but definitely not dropping him either.
All right. Now let's close it out with tight end. And again, a player that got 10 fantasy points last week against the Indianapolis Colts was Evan Engram, 5 catches for 49 yards. And again, any tight end, Davis, with a pulse almost feels like you got to start him. And this is a player that's going up against the Chiefs. So you would expect some points scored in the game. And we've just gotten to the point in fantasy football, Davis, where blindly accepting 10 points from your tight end in fantasy is something that anybody would take going into the week. And I think that you could pretty much count on that from Engram.
Yep. I mean, unless you have Kelce, Andrews, or Hockenson, if I just told you, I said, I'll give you 10 points right now, or you can accept whatever your tight end does on Sunday, you probably just flat take the 10 points. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Darren Waller can get in that conversation if the Giants look a little bit more competent on offense. I'll tell you, I drafted a bunch of Kyle Pitts. I would definitely take Evan Engram's 10 points over what I think Kyle Pitts is going to do. Man, the Atlanta Falcons. No team more brutal for fantasy football than the Atlanta Falcons. Going to be pretty interested to see what happens this week with the Jaguars, you know, in a game that they're actually going to be down. The line is at least telling us they're probably going to be down in this game because Christian Kirk barely played. And if Christian Kirk barely plays, then Evan Engram's role is going to remain huge. If they go away from that and they go back to more 11 personnel instead of playing the 12 personnel, then I think Engram's role probably shrinks a little bit because, I mean, wide receivers are just better at getting open than tight ends. You know, it's why they're not tight ends. It's why they're wide receivers. But Engram, clear start this week. Can't really imagine very many scenarios where you'd have two tight ends. Honestly, maybe Hunter Henry I would start over Evan Engram. That's a scenario that I could imagine. But Engram is going to be a start for me this week.
All right, there you go. Start or sit. Now, how about playing some players in your lineup this week in Daily Fantasy? Coming up next, Davis and I are going to dive into the DraftKings pricing, see if we can help you out with all the positions and find some value for you. See if you can win $1 million this week. Stay with us here on Fantasy Sports Today. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Our have to imagine whoever won $1 million last week, Davis, had the Tua Tagovailoa Tyreek Hill combination in last week's game on DraftKings. And, you know, I was sort of thinking of you a little bit when I saw Tyreek Hill going bananas because I was watching that. Like I want to say to myself what a mistake it was for Kansas City to let Tyreek Hill go. And then I'm reminded that they won the Super Bowl without Tyreek Hill last year. But I got to tell you, in sports, I was thinking about this in general. I don't know if you feel the same way. There's very few players who sign these what I would call stupid mega contracts in all sports, baseball, football, basketball, where you look at it and go, oh my gosh, that was great. He's like one of the very few that got so much money that you're like, yeah, like to get it, paying Tyreek Hill is pretty much justified. I mean, you could almost unanimously pick 10 mega contracts in sports and like 9 in a year. You're like, oh gosh, they paid that guy too much. But I mean, Tyreek Hill is just incredible, man. Like watching that was just crazy last week.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I do feel like Tyreek's probably going to be one of these cheat code guys in DFS this year. We saw it last year, too, like the Tyreek Tua combo went absolutely nuts. Justin Jefferson as well. But I mean, yeah, very rarely do the mega contracts. It's just got to be at a premium position where you're limited by the actual salary cap, not by how much you're worth. You know, it's like in the NBA, the mega contracts, like 5 of the mega contracts are really good, and then the rest of them are terrible. You know, like Paul George and LeBron James making the same amount of money doesn't seem exactly right. Or Jokic and Giannis making the same amount of money as Kawhi Leonard. Like one of those guys, you're getting your money worth, and one of them, you're not. But the Tyreek Hill contract, I mean, good for him. Obviously, I still wish that he was catching passes from Patrick Mahomes because I don't think I'd be complaining about Sky Moore if they had Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, $1 million last week on the line, $1 million again this week. Let's go through some of Davis's plays in Daily Fantasy on DraftKings. We'll go through the quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson this week. A little bit uneven, I would say it's fair to say, last week. And this week they go against the Bengals, 7,700. Hey, Anthony Richardson looked capable enough to play in fantasy last week. It sort of fell apart a little in the second half, but he played better than I thought he would. I've been wrong every step of the way, as I've mentioned with him. 6,300. Jared Goff of Detroit against Seattle, 6,200. Let's break it down.
So I'm going back to the well with Lamar Jackson. He was in my list last week. Lamar Jackson, how many touchdowns did he account for last week, Craig? 0. Bagel. Nothing. They got inside the red zone a bunch. I thought the offense mostly looked pretty okay. You know, so last year, the Baltimore Ravens had 141 total snaps, total 17 games with 3 wide receivers on the field. They had 40 of those snaps in week 1, which makes sense, right? Mark Andrews was out, but they have good wide receivers now. Zay Flowers looks incredible. Odell Beckham seemed fine. Bateman, a good rotational wide receiver. Nelson Aguilar, a good rotational wide receiver. Even Devin Duvernay seems all right. And their starting running back, who they probably would have used all game and all year long, got injured. I also kind of like this spot just as an over for the total with the Ravens and the Bengals. The Bengals have to wipe the taste out of their mouth. That was the worst game of Joe Burrow's career. I mean, probably if you go back to Joe Burrow's high school career, that was probably the worst game of his career. 58 yards passing from one Mr. Joseph Burrow. I do sort of feel like this game is primed to be the unexpected shootout of the week, but I'm just looking at the way these guys are projected to be rostered. Mahomes is going to be popular. Lawrence is going to be popular. Fields is going to be popular against the Buccaneers. I just sort of think Lamar will get lost in that shuffle. Anthony Richardson against the Houston Texans. I just sort of like that game, Craig. Your classic vomit bowl, right? Two terrible teams. Two teams that are going to, I don't know, combine to win 7 games on the year. But Richardson, I mean, Richardson actually, weirdly enough, Craig, I thought he was going to come in and run the air out of the ball. I mean, I thought he was going to run like 15 times a game. He ran good. I mean, 10 rushes for 40 yards, had a rushing touchdown, almost had a second one at the end of the game. In fact, would have gotten a second one had he not banged up his knee, and they were just being cautious with him. Like, I don't know, if that was a playoff game, Richardson certainly would have stayed in. But he looked way better passing the ball than I thought. I mean, I was ready to tune in and see, oh, the ball sailing over the heads of everyone. He can't figure out the RPOs. He throws for like 119 yards. But that is not what happened. So I like that quite a bit. And I think the running stuff will continue to grow. And then Jared Goff, I mean, We literally have seen this happen. Go back to week four last year. This game, Seattle-Detroit, was the game you absolutely had to stack to win $1 million. And I don't even really feel like Goff will be all that popular. You know, St. Brown will be very popular, but Laporta, Gibbs, and then the Seahawks guys, I think they'll all just sort of be middling levels of popularity, but none of them the most popular at their position.
All right, let's run through the running backs. No surprise, Bijan Robinson's price is on the rise after he looked so great last week. $7,900 for the Atlanta Falcons. And the notion that he's going to be the part of the offense and perhaps the main part of the offense, I think that looks correct. Jahmyr Gibbs also looked really good for Detroit. I think people probably forget about him. It's been so long since he played in that game one. And then Brian Robinson with a pretty good matchup, Davis. He is $5,200. And once again, I mean, I hate to say it because I don't want to just, you know, go after the guy every year, Davis, but I said the same thing about Antonio Gibson year after year. I mean, this guy just fumbles like crazy. I just cannot believe every opportunity this guy has squandered. Credit to him for playing in the NFL, I guess, 4 or 5 years, but I cannot see them giving him goal line carries. It's got to be Robinson.
Yep, I'm totally with you. I mean, these are definitely three guys who are not going to be very popular in DFS. You know, the names that are going to be popular are the names you know, Joe Mixon, Christian McCaffrey, the same cast and crew. But Bijan, I actually sort of took the opposite thing away from Tyler Algier's 2-touchdown performance that it seemed that a lot of people did, which is, I mean, Algier is a good player, no disrespect intended. But Bijan is a great player. Maybe the best running back in the NFL right now. I mean, he just glides. He was getting open. It was actually the most targets that an Arthur Smith running back has gotten in his Atlanta Falcons tenure. Like, I just feel so good about Bijan, and I don't see any reason not to play him again this week. Gibbs only got the 8 touches last week. Looked phenomenal on them. That was also, Craig, I mean, look, that is a... That was a batten down the hatches spot. You're on the road against the defending champions. Like, are you going to go out and give your rookie running back 19 touches in that spot? No. You got old, dependable, trusty David Montgomery there. You know exactly what David Montgomery is going to do. He's not going to fumble. He's not going to surprise you. And that's exactly what he did. But Gibbs, I mean, what is Gibbs going to be owned this week? Or what would his price have been if he didn't slip on that touchdown run from the 8-yard line? You know, that was a clear touchdown. He slips. He doesn't run in. I thought he looked great. I'm all in on him this week. And then I'm reading the tea leaves the same way as you with Antonio Gibson. Just feels like Brian Robinson's role is going to do nothing but grow. He scored the 7-yard receiving touchdown last week. I thought actually the amount of passing down work he got was more than expected. The Commanders are not a good team. The Commanders are like a fine team on offense. Howell likes to eat sacks, so that's a real problem against Denver. But it feels like at $5,300, he's going to get 15 to 18 touches, should get a majority of the goal line work. I really like this spot for him.
All right, let's dive into the wide receivers quickly. And two above 7,000, Amon-Ra St. Brown, you could pair him with Goff if you want, $7,800 against Seattle. Boy, a very disappointing week one for Davante Adams. I did not think Jimmy Garoppolo looked all that good in that game. Didn't throw as much as I thought either. $7,600. Zay Flowers seems to be gaining some trust with Lamar Jackson at $5,000. And then you are going to give Sky Moore a shot here at just about minimum price here, $4,100 at receiver.
Yeah, St. Brown, going to be very popular. Nothing really to say about him. Everyone knows how awesome he is. It's a great game. Going to be a lot of points indoors. You can pair him with Goff, obviously. Adams did only have 6 receptions for 66 yards last week. Jacoby Myers seems like he's not going to play this week with still being in the concussion protocol. I thought Jimmy looked fine. I mean, did Jimmy look any different to me than Derek Carr, I guess? I mean, he was a little bit less willing to throw down the field, but Adams was also, you know, I mean, Patrick Surtain, I don't notice defensive players watching games all that often, but you notice Patrick Surtain. Davante Adams' hands were absolutely full with him. Zay Flowers, definitely pair him with Lamar Jackson if you're using Lamar. I thought his role was incredible. He saw 50% of the Ravens' targets in week one against the Texans, just immediately ahead of Beckham, immediately ahead of Bateman. I think that is a huge bull signal. I just don't really think there's anything that opposing teams can do with him. If they want to take those shallow crossing routes, those shallow slant routes, I mean, Zay Flowers is just going to get those. And I am going to give Sky Moore a run out in Trevor Lawrence, Patrick Mahomes line at $4,100. You could tell me Rice is the right guy to play. You could tell me Tony is the right guy to play, but I feel pretty confident Sky is going to be out there a ton. Obviously, he's going to correlate very well with Lawrence and with Mahomes. I also think you could put Christian Kirk in this list in terms of guys who are going to be, you know, on less than 5% of rosters, but have a massive amount of ceiling.
All right, tight end. Let's cap it off here where we're trying to find somebody cheaply optioned. Now, Andrews is not that guy, but he is 6,300 this week. Davis likes him. Pair him up with Lamar Jackson in that matchup against the Bengals. And then the cheap options you like are Dalton Kincaid at 3,300 and Jake Ferguson also at 3,300. My guess is you'll nail one of those last two. One will be good and the other one we'll laugh about next week. That feels like the tight end position.
Yeah, tight end. I mean, tight end is always tricky for DFS, but what makes it even more tricky this week is, I mean, look, we're already through here to the tight ends. Last week we had Marvin Mims and Jaden Reed and Tutu Atwell and all these $3,000 guys. And we had $5,000 running backs we wanted to play. We had Raheem Mostert. And this week, the pickings are thin. There just really are not any value plays. I mean, I don't really want to play Sky Moore for $4,100, but just below $5,000 at any position, there's not really anyone that I want to play. So a strategy I will be employing a little bit on DraftKings on Sunday is going to be the two tight end lineup. So we've got Kincaid, who ran a ton of routes. Turns out the Bills were not lying to us that Dalton Kincaid from game one, week one, he's just a starter on offense. He played 56 snaps. Deontay Hardy, the third wide receiver, only played 15. So they are doing the Kincaid and Knox thing. And the Bills have the second highest team total of the week against the Las Vegas Raiders. Jake Ferguson had three targets on the Cowboys opening drive, including a dropped touchdown pass, six targets in total. Feels like, again, another team that wasn't lying to us. They said all offseason, Jake Ferguson is our starting tight end. You show up week one, he's the starting tight end. We also have Luke Musgrave, who's 3,200. Chigakonkwo for the Tennessee Titans, who is 3,200. Like, if we get there and it's Sunday night, Sunday afternoon, and the team winning the $1 million on DraftKings has two tight ends, you know, one tight end and then a tight end in the flex, that's not really going to surprise me because there just are not a ton of wide receivers who are cheap that I think are quite playable this week.
Yeah, and by the way, Davis, what do you make of Dallas's receiving situation? I know that the news came out on Brandon Cooks earlier in the week. I mean, I guess it's possible that Ferguson could factor in, maybe Gallup could factor in as well. But you would assume Dak is not going to have games like he did there where he throws no touchdowns or one touchdown.
Might happen again, right? I mean, they're playing Zach Wilson and the New York Jets. Sure. Like, if the Cowboys just punted on first down, would they still win this game based on the strength of their defense and how much Zach Wilson turns it over? They might, honestly. So it might. I still think Dak is good, but it might happen again.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock. Coming up in hour two, we're going to dive into all the games in the NFL. We'll break them all down from a fantasy perspective, tell you who should be playing and who should be sitting. So that's coming up. Also, fantasy reality and the Sports Grid 60. But Davis, this has been the season that we did not expect from last year. I guess maybe we should have expected it, and I'm talking about injuries. I mean, generally speaking, Davis, last year was an injury-free season in fantasy football. There weren't a lot of significant ones. We got Aaron Rodgers already out for the year. I mentioned Brandon Cooks being out. Deontay Johnson is out as well. Travis Kelce missed week one of the NFL season. Austin Eckler has been banged up. I know we're going to get this over the course of the season, but boy, much different than last year going into week two.
Yeah, much different. I mean, last year, we pretty much skated through up until the point of the season, starting even week one. You know, last year, week one waiver wire bids, I went back and looked. It was mostly like rookie guys, guys whose roles were a little bit different, but it wasn't, oh my God, Cooper Kupp is out, and the guy who replaced him just went absolutely nuts. Or like, oh, you know, we have, there was no running back. There was no running back who was over 20% of the waiver wire bid last week in week one. Or I don't know, maybe it happened in your league, but it didn't happen in any of mine. So That is, look, that's an unfortunate part of fantasy football, but it's why we draft our teams the way we do. It's why wide receivers went higher in fantasy football drafts in 2023 than they ever had before. And also, I mean, the running backs that we thought weren't going to be very good, like the dead zone running backs, boy, I mean, they stunk. Like, if you drafted Najee Harris in your fantasy football league, you're like, can I get a do-over? Can we do the 2023 draft again? I mean, even guys I kind of like Damian Pierce for the Texans, yeah, he played like 46% of their snaps, you know, just brutal stuff there, obviously. And then that's not even getting to the Jonathan Taylor holdout, which is like such a weird thing for fantasy football.
Yeah, just a strange start to our season. But again, week two coming up this week, a lot will change. We'll take a quick time out here on Fantasy Sports Today.